Brian Haney.
So if you want sports talk that's more than just a score, you got to listen to Wade on KB Country 94. We got the tunes that'll make you shake and bake. Z96.3, The Lake.
The rap star is back with us. It's Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks here on the Sports Ticket. And his appearance is brought to you, as always, by the fine folks at Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by, see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill and Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. The rapper himself, Mr. Haney, is with us. How you doing, buddy?
That was terrible. I'm so glad you cut that off. But upon further review, and that was totally just off the cuff, for folks that missed last week's episode, the second stanza was one too few syllables, so we got to do something completely different. You and I actually connected on getting some local sports stars' names, but the list that Wade prepared were high school guys, which is what I instructed him to do. Come to find out, I can't talk about high school guys because I work for a D1 school and there's NCAA rules. So the new homework assignment is you're going to give me three or four names of legends from previous decades, mm-hmm. from right there in Glen Elder and Beloit, and then we're going to come out with something a lot stronger than that, so you can ditch that liner after one play.
We could have some fun with that. I might throw that out to our listeners that we're going to put something together and then see how many different people get nominated, and then we'll have the hard job of, or I will, to narrow it down to four and then give that to you and let you have some fun with it.
But you got to beatbox for me, because just doing a dry, you know, no matter how good the delivery, that isn't enough.
Okay.
Need some, you know, in the background. So
yeah, well, I'm
pretty Wade Gerson on the beatbox.
Oh my, well, it's going to be a bad beatbox. I'm just going to warn you right now. Oh my,
more of a beat down than a beatbox.
Probably, yeah. Somebody might beat me down for having a bad beatbox. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, is with us. And well, first of all, let's start off with some fun stuff. How was Late Night in the Fog? Everybody have a good time?
It was great. It was great. Yeah, Lil Yachty did a great job getting the crowd hyped, and we had several inspiring videos, including reliving Coach Self's Hall of Fame induction 3 weeks earlier. We had the banner unveiling for the latest Big 12 championship, which I need to point out for those that haven't been able to make it inside Allen Fieldhouse. And this isn't meant to sound like an uppity look at us kind of thing, but you know, other schools, when they win a conference title, I mean, it's a full-on banner. Some schools hang banners just from making the NCAA tournament. KU with 60 conference championships all time, the most of any men's basketball program anywhere. They just put the year up on a banner that already has 7 or 8 other years on it. And so it's not the unfurling of a new banner, because there wouldn't be room with all the Hall of Fame players and national championships and all that. And so I say that to say it's pretty remarkable when you've won so many Big 12 titles like Kansas has that you don't have room for individual banners anymore. And it's just, you know, little numbers. They've done that for years. It's not like that's something new. But for the folks that are really excited for the new unfurling, now it's just an additional number. But that's how Coach Self rules, I guess. And you know what? Hopefully he'll keep on winning them, and we'll just keep on adding digits instead of banners, because it's truly been a remarkable run. And if they do it this year, as you well know, Wade, this would surpass UCLA. And even if they don't, which doesn't seem less accuracy, the fact that they got 13 all with one head coach, when John Wooden's 13 straight, he was actually only part of 9 of those. There were 2 other UCLA coaches that combined to get the final 4 of those 13 straight. And that was obviously in a much different era where the competitive balance in college basketball wasn't even close to what it is today. So this accomplishment, I think, however long it ends up lasting, will stand as one of the greatest major conference accomplishments in any men's collegiate sport forever. And that was pretty special to kind of relive that a little bit, as they officially close that chapter and open up a new one on what could be an unprecedented 14th straight.
That would be something. There's no question about it. And that'll be coming up here. When's the first game? When's the first exhibition game for KU basketball?
Halloween.
Oh, my. It is in October. Wow. That's 26 days away.
We're going to dress up like gorillas and welcome in Pitt State.
Hey, that's my alma mater. You know that, right? I went to Pittsburgh.
How about
State.
That? We should come in for the game, man.
Well, that would be good. I'll have to see. I probably got to do the trick-or-treating thing with the kids, you know. Family probably comes first on that one. Although, we could go ahead and trick-or-treat at your house. We could just do that. I'm sure you got lots of candy. We'll just hit everybody up there in Lawrence. We'll just move our trick-or-treating.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We could totally do it. Absolutely.
Okay. That sounds good.
Bring Miller. We'll have a great time.
Yes, I'll bring Miller, my fourth child. that I did not know I had. Okay, football, let's turn our attention there. The Jayhawks get a week off. They're 1-3, and they get to take on Texas Tech coming up this weekend. And it is homecoming there in Lawrence, kickoff at 11 a.m. And, you know, a few weeks ago, I think a lot of people were talking about how KU's best chances to win a game in the Big 12 would be Baylor and Texas Tech. And Baylor's 0-5 now, but they battled K-State last week. It was a 7-point game there in the fourth quarter. They gave Oklahoma all they could handle in Waco. And then Texas Tech the other night against Oklahoma State, and granted, Oklahoma State gave them opportunities. Oklahoma State missed a couple field goals, a pick six. But give Texas Tech their credit. Their defense gave up a lot of yards. It bent quite a bit. But they came up with some pretty big stops on third down. So all this rhetoric out there about, well, KU, you know, Texas Tech, Baylor, those are the two teams KU definitely has a chance to beat, which is probably still true, but those games look a little bit tougher after what we've seen the last few weeks, don't they?
All of that is absolutely true, absolutely. And yet, what I would point to is you wouldn't view the game last year as Matthew Wyman's field goal is good as time expires, then it would be Texas Christian as well at home last season. So, point being, you're right. I mean, Texas Tech has played way better than a preseason pick 9th out of 10 teams in the Big 12 type club. When they were 3-0 and coming off a win at Houston where they were 7-point dogs heading in, I mean, they were pretty close to getting ranked. And if you hang on and beat Oklahoma State, you absolutely are ranked somewhere in the top 20 right now. So, they've been terrific. I think in talking with people close to that program, and as you know, I worked there for 4 years, it's not the case that Chimenek is better than Patrick Mahomes at all. I mean, Patrick Mahomes was a once-in-a-generational talent worthy of trading up to first to get to the top 10 so you could take him. And I don't think any Kansas City Chiefs fan, after seeing the preseason, would complain about what they have now waiting in the wings and the investment it took to get him. But, as one person described it to me, last year, the identity of that team for Texas Tech, it was kind of all about Pat. And it's a little bit different now. There's a lot more, I don't want to say unity, but there's not that number one, you know, head and shoulders above the rest star on this team. Everybody's tugging that rope the same way. And that's not to say that Mahomes looked at himself as some kind of holier art than thou star than the rest of the guys. But as it was described to me by a member of the Texas Tech broadcast team, it might actually make them more well-rounded and a little bit more cohesive that it's not about one guy. It's about everybody, all you know, 85 on the roster. So I think Texas Tech, they've got something going right now, and David Gibbs' third year as defensive coordinator, they're getting takeaways, pacing the conference in that regard, which was his MO when he was coaching at Houston, and Cliff Kingsbury hired him to bring him over. Remember, they went through 6 or 7 years where they had a different coordinator every year consecutively. And so they finally have some stability there. Chimenek's been great. And you know, we'll see about Kiki Kuti. He's a Biletnikoff Award candidate that right now is highly questionable for the game on Saturday. He could be the best overall offensive player. And if he's out of the lineup, that would be a devastating loss for Texas Tech. So I think they've been a great story. I think everything you said is spot on true in terms of it being a tougher game than it might be. Because obviously when those polls come out in July, you think, okay, well, the team picked right in front of us. We get it home, so maybe that's our most winnable one. Nobody knew Baylor would bottom out like they did. But like you said, they nearly beat Baker Mayfield at Baylor in Waco a couple of weeks ago. And so I think it's where anything Kansas gets thrown out, you see, because the competitive balance of this league is just so stinking tough. And we've talked about this on previous reports. You know, I feel for David Beatty. Had he come along 15, 10 years earlier, you know, back when you had 4 non-conference games, you had a Big 12 North and a Big 12 South, and the point it is, it's not to make light of anything. The league, Oklahoma State wasn't what they are now. Missouri was a little bit down early. Iowa State was a little bit down. You had, you know, other teams like Texas Tech floundering a little bit at times. Yeah, I'm talking about like the 02, 03 type era. Who's that team you can just chalk up as a win now in the Big 12 Conference? You made the point. You can't do it with Baylor. They're looking better than what we saw in the first 2 or 3 weeks. So, hey, it's going to be a grind every single week. But my point in bringing up last year's TCU home game is that there were a lot of games like that. TCU, Texas, Iowa, where KU really competed well at home.
I just hope field advantage with a good turnout come Saturday morning and Saturday afternoon, because you really like to have that, if it is a close game late, to have a difference maker in the stands, not just on the field.
Brian, we're having a little bit of problems with the connection there, cutting in and out just a little bit, so I'll see if you can make an adjustment on your end. We heard most of what you had to say there. We're talking to Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency, Day 2 Farm, Home, Auto, Life, and Crop Insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. Well, we've talked a lot about the KU defense has really struggled. The KU offense has actually done a pretty good job, at least statistically. So we talk a lot about how KU is going to stop Texas Tech. That's always a concern when you take on the Red Raiders. But what about Texas Tech's defense against the KU offense and Peyton Bender and Khalil Herbert and others?
Well, I think that Kansas will have a decided advantage when they choose to run the ball, which should be early and often and lots throughout this game. KU has doubled their yardage per game from where they were at this time a year ago. And obviously when you get 291 yards from one guy in 1 week, that's going to help with those stats. But across the board, exponentially, things were a lot better. Yards per game, points per game, third down, fourth down conversions. We did a statistical analysis this week, Katie Lonergan and our sports information department putting together, you know, a year ago today, what did it look like? And it's not as far ahead as they think it can grow to be. But, man, all the numbers sure look pretty dang good. They're 7 points greater at this juncture than they were this time a year ago, 32.2 compared to 25.5. But they realized that, you know what, the way this league is scoring points and the way the defense at times has allowed some points, that number of, you know, 32.2 is going to have to go up. And so it's progress that we're proud about, but we're not sticking our chests out too far because, you know what, you want to wind up with more points than the other team, obviously, and even if you're scoring more points than you did yourselves a year ago, if it's still not, you know, outscoring the opposition, you're not cutting it. So it's an offense that I think can get better and better, but we need to point out progress when you see it, and clearly under Doug Meacham with Peyton Bender and Khalil Herbert's emergence, and I think run blocking that's been better than it's been, you know, under David Beatty these first three seasons. These last 2 weeks, it's about as good as we've seen it in terms of some of the lanes they've paved for Herbert and company. So I think there's a lot to like there offensively, and I think when Texas Tech's defense is on the field, you just have to be careful of an opportunistic bunch that's a ball-hawking defense, looking for that rip and strip and looking for the chance to scoop and score, as they say. So it's a group that, as I told you, that's been David Gibbs' M.O. throughout his defensive coordinator career, and KU, quite frankly, needs to do a better job of getting some takeaways themselves. And so it would be a huge key and go a long ways in pulling this upset if KU could win the turnover battle and get some early takeaways. That's how you keep pace with an offense as good as Texas Tech's. You take the ball from them and set your offense up with a short field. Yeah, that's one of the things David Beatty talked about on Hawk Talk this week. As impressed as they are with the offense improving yardage categories, scoring categories, and all of that, it could be even more real easily if they were getting more takeaways and having more short field goal-to-go scoring chances. It's just not something they've had a ton of this season. And so that's not pointing fingers at the other side of the ball. That's just saying, hey, these are areas where we got to improve, and if we do, it's going to help the tide rise for all ships. So that's where they're at right now, and I think it's certainly possible that we could see more takeaways. I thought in the West Virginia game, Hassan Defense had his best game as a Jayhawk. He's one of those JC corners that we've talked so much about that is part of that really young, really green Kansas secondary. I think he made leaps and bounds of progress. And as I told you on last week's report, they were really hopeful to get a lot out of the open date, the week leading up to an open date. You can't have open tryouts, and I'm not talking, when I say tryouts, I'm not talking about pulling some kid out of the DeBruce Center cafeteria to come line up and play nickel. Yeah. I mean, cleaning the slate here and saying, okay, let's look at each role we've got here and see who can prove he deserves to either keep his starting spot or earn a new starting spot. They did a lot of, you know, internal self-evaluation there. And I don't know the results of that. They're keeping them close to the vest. As Coach Beatty said on Monday, it wouldn't behoove them to announce any changes. Maybe there aren't any changes to announce. But I know Clint Bowen was excited to see some open competition with the extra week. They weren't just going to use it to sit around and heal up their bumps and bruises. They wanted to get after it. And if they had to do some jockeying of positions, if they had to do some switching up of the two deep to light a fire under somebody or to get a more optimal lineup out there, they'd do it. So take a real close look.
come Saturday morning when that defense comes out on the field for the first time. Will there be changes or not? I have no idea. But I know that they wanted to create competition during the open week that would put them in a better spot to compete. And I have all the confidence and belief in the world in Clint Bowen. I think he's one of those coaches that's done more with less in previous years. And we've not quite seen the start to the season defensively that some of us were hoping for, but I know coming, and I think this is a week where obviously they'll be tested by a great offense, but with the extra week of preparation, I expect to see noticeable changes and differences that are positive additions to this team in terms of what they're doing out on the field. So it's going to be fun on Saturday. I just hope we have a lot of people out there with us, and hopefully this is the day they get over that hump and get that first league win here in 2017 and the first of several more, hopefully.
Texas Tech at KU, kickoff at 11 a.m. You can hear that on our sister station, the home for the Jayhawks in North Central Kansas, Z96.3 The Lake. The voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney, is with us today. All right, Brian, time for the off-the-wall question, and I was having some fun after we were talking about all the rapping last week, and I found a website. It's called myrapname.com, and so I punched in, they want the first name and last initial, so I put mine in and I put yours in. But before I get to these examples, do you have a rap name? And if you don't, what would it maybe be?
I think I kind of do.
Do you? I figured you
guys like, yeah, guys like you and me from the Snoop Dogg era, uh-huh. For Shizzle My Nizzle, Be Hizzle. you know, you take first initial and then last name, turn last name into Hizzle. And first initial B would make for Be Hizzle. And that's what some of my buddies have called me. When we have a couple of beers in our system. I don't really, you know, write that on name tags at Rotary Club or anything like that. But what would Wade Gerstner's name be?
Well, according to this, if you hit and refresh it, it comes up with different options. So for mine, it was Wade W Pack, which I don't like. Wade G Slam. I don't know. But this one's probably the best one. Busta Wade W Battle Dog. Busta Wade W Battle Dog. That's kind of a little wordy name, but I kind of like it, man.
I like it. That's got some serious swag to it.
Does it?
I love that.
Well, I'm all about swag. I'm all about swag.
You are clearly all about swag. It's so funny. We speak so confidently when it's just us and our friends there in Beloit and Gardner listening about our rap names and stuff like that. But I want you to know, as we were going back and forth on what was your name again? W Wade.
Which one do you want? Busta Wade W Battle Dog.
Busta Wade W Battle Dog. As we were quoting that, and B. Hizzle, our director of basketball operations, Brendan Bouchard, just walked by, and I immediately turned my back to him and put my hand over the phone so he couldn't hear me describing why I'm B. Hizzle and why you're the Battle Dog. So it's funny. It's like we don't mind, you know, the thousands that are listening on your radio station right now, but you know, if one or two of the coaches that would actually give me grief for hanging out with Battle Dog and B. Hizzle walks by, then all of a sudden it's like whispering in the corner. So, we do embrace it proudly, right?
Yes, we do. We do. Yeah, absolutely.
Own it.
Yeah, own it. Own it for sure. Hey, dude, how close?
Busta Wade Battle Dog.
Yeah, you got to remember that. Busta Wade W Battle Dog. I'm going to try to find something else, but it's okay. I like it. It's all right to start after myrapname.com. That's the best they got so far. By the way, they said yours was Sniper Bri B was one that ran for you. And then another one was Meaty B Bry Social. I'm like, what? So, well, you know.
Are you saying I put on some LBs in the last year if I'm Meaty B?
I'm not. MyRapName.com apparently knows you better whether you are or not. I don't know that, actually. Yeah.
I thought I was looking pretty good for 37, but if I'm Meaty B, I'm probably not very Bry Social.
You better stick with Behizzle. That'll be all right. How close did Bouchard come to hitting the half-court shot? Didn't he shoot a half-court shot?
He did. For the first time in 3 years, he didn't hit it.
Oh, that's horrible.
It was so anticlimactic. I prepared what I was going to say and everything. Like, you expect it to go down. And then he doesn't hit the shot from 50 feet. It's like, oh, man.
He's only shooting 67%.
What do we do now?
That's horrible. He's only shooting 67% from half court. That's just a horrible percentage. Horrible.
B. Bizzle from half court for the Bouchard.
There you go, man.
The sniper. Busta Dog.
Busta Wade W Battle Dog. You got her, man. Hey, I always enjoy talking with you. You're a blast to talk with, as you know, and we will set up a trick-or-treat time for my kids, including Miller, to hit your house and everybody else's house there in Lawrence on October the 31st. Have a great call against Texas Tech, and hopefully we'll be talking about W next week.
Can't wait. Thanks a lot, Wade. You have a great day.
Thanks, man.
Take care.
That's Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you as always by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.